waiting, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Welcome to another week of the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. My co-host Bibbs will come on at about 8:07. We have a spectacular show for you today. When I say a spectacular show, there's a lot of things going on in the sports world that will devastate anyone when it comes to the topics of sports today. When you look at some of the topics that we're going to talk about here on the Tony Sands Show, the hottest topic going today, the hottest topic that has taken over the airwaves, taken over the television. As you know, last week, Aaron Hernandez's name came up involving a situation of a murder. Of a murder with an associate of his. And today, about 8:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mr. Aaron Hernandez was taken into custody. Was taken into custody today. Brought in before a judge and given his charges. Also, another case that, you know, due to the Aaron Hernandez case taking so much of the sports world, Mr. Walcott of the Cleveland Browns is being charged with attempted murder for allegedly punching a man outside of a nightclub. We're going to get into that story also here. We're going to talk a little Tim Tebow, and it went back to what I told you last week about Tim Tebow and the New England Patriots. We're going to get into that. We're going to breeze through a little bit of this Heat Spurs championship. Guys, yes, we know the Heat won, and it is what it is. LeBron James, D-Wade, and Bosh, the big three in the Miami Heat, are world champions. And LeBron, supposedly, as I state, supposedly, because I'm a Michael Jordan guy, not a LeBron. I like LeBron James, but I still say to this day that Michael Jordan is the greatest player to ever play the game of basketball, the greatest player to play the game of basketball. Our show is filled with topics. We're going to also get into a little bit, and I'm going to breeze through, and you can call me here on the show if you want to talk a little bit about the Trayvon Martin case that took place today and some of the witnesses that were brought on the stand to talk Trayvon Martin. You can call us here on the Tony Sands Show. Man, I'm telling you, we're going to get deep into it's Aaron Hernandez case. But before that, we're going to play audio 28. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're coming back with my main man, Mr. Bibbs. We're going to play audio 28. Listen in as the prosecutor talk about how the young man in this case was shot. Listen at this.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in the dope pole.
Oh. is responding. On responding is evident quickly that we're being investigated in homicide. The injured nurse, young couple, whose body is destroyed with an astounding condition on the back.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. Joining me now is my co-host, Mr. Bibbs, out of Dallas, Texas. Bibbs, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's going on, Tony?
Not much, man. Bibbs, this sports world has taken us by surprise. When you look at this, man, the NFL is taking a hit today when it comes to its PR. When you look at two of their players are being charged, one with attempted murder and one with first-degree murder, this thing has gotten out of control. Do you think there is an issue that the NFL needs to address when it comes to these two cases, especially, and I think in Wilcox's case, the one for the Cleveland Browns, his case went so much under wraps due to the high publicity of the Aaron Hernandez situation. What do you see, and what do you think, and what are you hearing out in Dallas and across the Midwest about these two cases?
I mean, well, we definitely got a lot, you know, information about them, just like the rest of the world. You know, the Aaron Hernandez case, of course, has been the national spotlighted case because, you know, with the, you know, him being charged with murder today. As far as the Wilcox case, like you said, I hadn't really got an opportunity to see much of or read much upon it because I've been so, you know, stuck on this Aaron Hernandez case. But the NFL has definitely took a major blow to his image today, you know, with two of their players, you know, being charged with murder. I mean, murder is like one of the number one offense in America, you know, and for those two players to be in the NFL and to be charged with that type of crime, the NFL has, I guess, going to have to do something about it. I don't know what specifically they are going to do about that situation or their look or their image right as of right now, but they definitely have to sit down and come up with something.
And let's get back to this Aaron Hernandez situation, and we're going to get a little bit in also into Walcott's situation, but I want to focus more on Aaron Hernandez because of the way this situation played out. Here we go last week, and here it is 8 to 9 days from that when we talked about it last Wednesday on our show, and we talked about how possibly Bill Belichick bought Tim Tebow in, possibly because he didn't think that Aaron Hernandez would be around. And we at that time didn't know if Aaron Hernandez would even be arrested today or any other time because there was only at that time when it first came out, he was not looked at as a suspect. That's the way they, right. You know, the police has brought it out there in Massachusetts that he was not looked at as a suspect, but they just wanted to talk to him in the situation, in the case, due to the fact that his car was in the area. And it was associated with his girlfriend's sister, fiance, baby father, in that light. But now here we are some 9 days later, and Aaron Hernandez was being taken out of his house this morning at 8:47. For those that are joining the Tony Sands Show, we're talking about the NFL, Aaron Hernandez, New England Patriots, and Aaron Hernandez and the murder that he is being charged with. Now, and let's get into that. Now, he's being charged with first-degree murder and also 5 gun charges. Wow, that's a lot to hit you over the head. So it makes me wonder, and as I was listening to this story earlier, it made me wonder, do the NFL and its people have an issue and a concern? But before we answer that, Bibbs, we're going to listen to Audio 27, and it talked about the NFL because it talked about both of these cases, and it talked about some of the percentages. Chris Mortensen talked about some of the percentages of the NFL players that are being involved and how many have been arrested since the Super Bowl? Let's listen at Chris. Chris got an opportunity to talk about this the other day. Let's listen at Chris and see what he has on this audio.
Murder. His name is Oswald Walcott. He's a rookie out of the University of Virginia. And according to the New Jersey Record, Walcott punched a man outside of a New Jersey bar early Sunday morning, and that man remains hospitalized in critical condition. Along with attempted murder charge, Walcott is being charged with second-degree aggravated assault and a third-degree charge of endangering an injured victim. Now, the San Diego Union-Tribune keeps an official record of NFL arrests, including Walcott and Aaron Hernandez. This is the 28th time an NFL player has been arrested since this year's Super Bowl. Again, over 2,500 players in this league, but 28 arrests and some on very serious charges, Mort. What, if anything, should the NFL be doing about this?
We should also know that Walcott, though he's a lesser-known player, also has been released by the Cleveland Browns today. Listen, 28 arrests or 28 more than you want. The NFL has 90 players on the rosters of 32 teams. If you do the math, that comes out to about 3,000 players that are counted as NFL players. If you have 26, or they even say you have 30 arrests, what is that? 1% of your players have been arrested. So that's more than what you want, but the bottom line is that arrests do happen. It's the gravity in different layers of arrests. The arrests, certainly, of Hernandez and the one of Walcott are obviously more troubling. If there is such a thing, you have more troubling arrests. But that's why the league is having an NFL rookie symposium right now as we speak. I mean, there's no question they're using these as examples, and part of the message is, listen, the associates you had as a child, as a teenager, anything you were involved gang-related, you know, even as you get into the league, you need to cut your ties. You need to...
Bibbs, tell me this now. You heard that play. You heard it play out, and do you think, as I stated earlier, that the NFL has a problem with its athletes getting in trouble? Like it says, 28 of their athletes been arrested 28 times since the Super Bowl. But we understand it's only 1% of the athletes within the NFL has this issue. Is this something that the NFL should look deeply into and figure out how they need to go about addressing this, being that the rookie symposium is taking place at this time?
Definitely. I mean, I don't think the NFL can let this, you know, go sweep this under the rug. I mean, with it being so, you know, out to the open, out, you know, to the media or whatnot. As far as them having a problem, I don't really think that they can control. I mean, they can, you know, assess different rules as far as, I guess, gun rules or, you know, code of conduct rules. You know, if you get in trouble in certain instances, you might get fined this amount of money or suspended these amount of games. And that's about as far as they can go. But the NFL is having a problem with the culture. That's a culture, you know, especially with the gun carrying around, the gun, you know, the gun law today and the young men carrying guns for their own protection. It's just a culture thing, and I don't really know how the NFL can, you know, fix that with it, like I said, with it being a culture or a lifestyle, you know, of kids or young men in general walking around with carrying guns for their own protection. I really don't know how the NFL can, you know, fix that.
Now you said they're walking around, and we spoke about that, walking around with their own protection. Now, people must understand, these guys are multimillionaires. They are multimillionaires. Right. They walk around with a lot of money. And in certain instances, these guys are looked at as targets for robberies and things of that nature, because sometimes when people know that you have a lot of money or possibly have a lot of money, if you look back here in Miami and you see how Chris Bosh's home was robbed, and a lot of his things, money and jewelry, was taken out of his home. This tends to be a trend, and ESPN did a special on this one time when it comes to athletes being targets. But now in this case, you know, because a man died in this Aaron Hernandez case. Now, and I don't think this fits, you know, that realm of where we got to carry a gun, because if you look at Aaron Hernandez's background, and you look at his history from what they're stating all day, he's had trouble with the law since he was a teenager. But I got to bring in this. Aaron Hernandez is one of those guys whose father died. Does he fall into that realm in that household when there's no father and there's no guidance? That percentage tends to rise of those young men that tend to get in trouble or be got it by the wrong people. Now, you got to understand, too, back in Florida, he had a situation with, when he was at the University of Florida, BFC also had a situation with a gun. He also had a situation with the gun situation that was, you know, played down to a lesser charge, and, you know, he took some classes and things like that. But now here we are again, within, from February to now, you had a gun charge where you shot a man in the face, a man possibly lost his eye, and now here you are being charged with first degree murder. How do one go from that far of grace, a guy that just signed a $40 million deal, and you find yourself now on the other side of the law being charged with murder?
Well, Tommy, obviously this guy has had some type of, you know, issues or a bad, like you said, he had a background coming from the University of Florida, or even previously before he even went to the University of Florida, by, you know, just the way he grew up. I'm assuming that, you know, the guns are just part of a lifestyle that he's probably been used to living his whole life. As far as the accidental shooting of the guy in the face, and as far as the murder is concerned, I really cannot wrap my brain around, you know, how is this going on with this guy. You know, like you said, he just signed a $40 million contract. He was one of the, you know, better tight ends in the NFL, you know, very athletic guy, you know, and now he's throwing it all down the drain. You know, something else has happened to him in the past, you know, that, you know, triggering these type of things to go on in his life as of now. I don't know what that is, but, you know, I guess we'll find out as the story, you know, continues to unfold.
Now, tell me this, and I know you possibly seen, you saw the way they took him out the house, and that's been a topic of discussion, the way that he was led out the house.
Right.
9 times out of 10, if they come, first of all, in this situation, they would tell your attorney, hey, bring your client down to the police, turn over with, and charge him with first degree murder and, you know, right, some other charges. In this case, we see him being taken out of the home, not with his shirt on, but with his shirt over him. Does that give you an indication to say, hey, either police stated to themselves, this guy is dangerous, and we know it, or since this guy don't want to cooperate, we're going to treat him like a normal criminal. We're going to get him. If he don't have an on shirt, hoop de doo, we'll tell him to go get a shirt, throw it over him, and we're going to lead him to the car. We're going to parade him around. We're going to let him know that we're not playing. When you see that, how do you read that, the way he was taken out of the house?
Well, you know, from what I've been hearing and what I've been reading, Aaron Hernandez has not, you know, come forth with any type of, he's not done his part to help the situation. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. He's, you know, kind of been, if you feel like you got something on me, we'll catch me. Come catch me. And, you know, I think that's the type of stance he's taken throughout the whole, you know, the whole situation. He's let them come, you know, search his house while he's been there, you know, a couple of times that they search. And like you said, normally when somebody's going to be charged with any type of crime, they have a lawyer. The lawyer's always informed, like you said, bring your client down, you know, to turn himself in so we can book him in and go forth with the process. In this case, Aaron Hernandez is like, you got to come get me. You know, I guess, he's not, you know, complying with the system as of right now. And I assume that's why, you know, the detectives and the police came the way they came, you know. And I assume he was possibly sitting in his house with no shirt on, not necessarily worried about it, you know, or, you know, just like I said, come get me type of form or whatever. So they just threw a shirt over top of him, you know, and that's just why it looked the way it looked. But I don't think he's really cooperating with the police at this point. I think he just, you know, let them do their job. I'm innocent until proven guilty, and that's just what he's going with.
Now, people, I'm gonna read off some of the charges. You know, as you know, he's being charged with first degree murder, carrying a firearm without a license, possessing a large capacity firearm, two counts, possessing a firearm without a federal card, two charges. Now, if I look at that and I say the police had to find the gun, if they know what kind of caliber, which I mean, they could probably get it from the shelves, but How do you know if the gun is not licensed or not if you don't have the gun? So I'm under the impression that they possibly had this firearm. And then you got to, if you listen to this case earlier, this argument stemmed from a nightclub out at in Boston, you know, called, you know, on June 14th. And he said when Hernandez was upset due to a certain thing because Lloyd had talked to some people Hernandez had trouble with. Now, here you are, NFL star, and I know we run into issues, but now you got to understand, he was, you know, brought up in Connecticut, and he was had supposedly some serious gang ties that back at Florida, University of Florida, allegedly. Their coaches didn't want him to go home due to the fact that those gang ties were so strong, and they was thinking that he would get in trouble. But then you sign with the New England Patriots, not far from where you grew up at. So that doesn't, you didn't change your surroundings that much, especially a guy with the kind of money that he has. And I guess Lloyd talked to some of those people that Hernandez was having trouble with. And then 2 days later, that night on June 16, Hernandez texted two friends from an outside the state and said, and asked them to hurry back to Massachusetts. To hurry back to Massachusetts. Surveillance supposedly saw them, you know, leaving. You know, they saw the footage, Hernandez home, him leaving with the gun. Now, the surveillance, you know, showed they saw him leaving with the gun. So now if he's leaving with the gun, okay, where are you going with the gun at 2:30? And then at that time, the three men picked up Lloyd at his home at 2:30 a.m., according to authorities, and they drove around. They discussed what happened at the nightclub, and Lloyd started getting nervous. Lloyd then texts his sister. He texts his sister, and I think this is what really brought a lot of this to light. He texts his sister, and he said, "Did you see who I'm with?" When she asked who, he answered, "NFL." Then minutes later, "Just so you know." So now, when you hear that, what does that tell you? When you hear that kind of information being texted to your, if you're texting that to your sister, what is that telling your sister?
I'm obviously in some type of trouble. So you know, if something is to happen to me, then you know, put the clues together. This is who I'm with. This is where I'm going. You know, so y'all have an idea, some type of idea of what's going on. That's what I take from the text messages.
Yeah, I mean, when you text, how often, first of all, do you, you know, you get in a car with somebody at 2:30 a.m., you know, and you get in a car with them at 2:30 a.m., and I'm quite sure that conversation for this young man to get nervous, that conversation had to stem and get to a point to where you start texting. To say, "You saw who I'm with, just so you know." Because he knew, I'm quite sure at that point in time, a gun probably was sitting in somebody's presence. But now, as they say, it was three guys. It was another guy. So if I'm in this case, I'm thinking, possibly this other guy has started to talk. And this guy said, "Hey, wait a minute, hold on. This thing that got out of hand. Let me go to authorities first." So that way, guess what? I'm in the clear. Hey, I had nothing to do with this. I'm going to turn state's evidence against this guy. You give me immunity, and we're good. And I guarantee you, that's what brought light to this case. And I guess Aaron Hernandez thought that his buddy possibly wouldn't say nothing. But I guess this guy, the pressure got with this guy, because I'm quite sure, as probably in, as the more to come out, Lloyd probably texted and said, "Hey, I'm with another guy also." And at that point in time, you got these surveillance tapes that are catching these guys in a time order in different places. Then later on, as they said, the overnight shift at the industrial park reported hearing gunshots.
I mean, at the end of the day, Tony, it doesn't take a rocket science to see that the majority of the evidence leads to Aaron Hernandez and his group of guys that he had, or that he was texting the night of the murder. I mean, I'm not going to say the guy is guilty, but I definitely believe he has some involvement in whoever killed this young man, you know, and going to suffer the consequences at the end of the day. It's a sad situation, But it happened, and it's out there now, and we're going to see, like I said earlier, we're going to see the story unfold.
And that's, we're going to listen to Roger Cossack, which is the ESPN's legal expert, as he go through this timeline, and he talks about how the prosecution was able to put these two guys together just before this guy's death. This is audio 25. We're gonna listen to Roger Cossack, ESPN expert, talk about this case.
Well, as I indicated to you, they're going to have a discussion about bail. There may probably will not be bail with these charges. Then there'll be some dates set, perhaps in the future, regarding whether or not he enters a plea of guilty or not guilty. If he doesn't do that today, then there'll be a date set for that. Then there'll be dates set for discovery. Those are the kinds of things that the lawyers work on. And then eventually, there'll be a trial date set in this matter. Particularly if he's in custody, it'll be sooner than it would be later, because when someone's in custody, time starts to go, and they are entitled to a speedy trial.
If anyone else were to face charges regarding the murder of Odin Lloyd, would we also see that person present at this arraignment in the courthouse right now, Roger?
Only if that person had been arrested and was in custody. There has been no indication that anybody else other than Aaron Hernandez has been charged in this matter. And as far as we know, this is the only defendant so far.
During that arraignment, we did hear the prosecutor tying Hernandez and Odin Lloyd together before the murder took place, Roger. So what is the significance of that?
You know, all of that is what's called circumstantial evidence rather than direct. Direct evidence is when you see somebody do something. If somebody was there to say, yeah, I saw someone pull the trigger, that's called direct evidence. Circumstantial evidence is things which you make an implication from. So the fact that they were together shortly before this crime allegedly occurred, that is evidence that puts Aaron Hernandez and the victim in this case together. That's part of what the prosecution's case is.
And Bibbs, as you heard there, as he said, the prosecution was able to put Aaron Hernandez and Mr. Lloyd together minutes before this murder took place, and they're building their case because, like I say, they don't have the direct evidence, but they have enough substantial evidence to put them, Aaron Hernandez, with this case. And when we talk about the timeline that they have, they talked about that there's only one person being charged here, but there are three people, from what they're saying, were associated in this vehicle. So I'm quite sure that third person was able to either come forth and give that timeline of everything that took place, because if they even talked about how they turned down the air conditioning in the car because they said it was getting cold. Now, if you, me, and somebody else is in the car and that person is dead, you ain't speaking. It's got to be me that's talking about this air condition. You ain't saying nothing. The dead person can't say anything. So I think that's where this case fell apart for Mr. Hernandez. I think, you know, it took him a while for them probably to squeeze the other young man, and at some point they squeezed him and told him, hey, listen, we're going to charge both of you guys with this murder if someone don't come forth. And I guess he came forth, and it went so swift from the time he got arrested to the time the New England Patriots released him. It goes back to what I said last week, B. They knew more than what they were leading on to in this case.
Definitely. And I'm kind of curious, and not to stray away from the topic, I'm really curious to see what this does for the New England Patriots as an organization.
Wow.
Or a football team, you know, this upcoming season. They have one experienced, you know, tight end on their roster in Jake Vallet. And I don't really see much else as far as the other five tight ends they have on the roster right now doing much this NFL season. Tom Brady might be in a little trouble without Gronk. He doesn't really have any wide receivers on the outside. He has a new wide receiver in Daniel Amendola. But from what we know in his past season, he can't stay healthy. So I'm really curious to see how this goes forward for the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and how they're able to, you know, overcome this loss of Aaron Hernandez.
And that's, you know, so how do you And I know you got Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback, but is Tom Brady that good that he's able to overcome all the losses that the New England Patriots are taking to the receiver position, tight end, and wide receiver spot? I don't know if he's able to. I still say I know Bill Belichick is a genius, but I don't know if you're able to, you know, get over this. And I talked to a source that knows a little bit about the New England Patriots earlier today. And one thing they talked about when it comes to, you always hear people say the Patriots way. You talk about the Patriots way a lot. The person that was really stiff when it came to the Patriots way was Mr. Kraft's wife.
Right.
His wife was a straight shooter. And this coming from my source. My source clearly stated me, hey, Mr. Kraft would say, you know, we as guys, we do things, but my wife is a straight shooter. She's a straight shooter. Now, do we see the New England Patriots, and, you know, New England Patriots was a team that was known for taking risk on guys. Do we see them continue that trend, or do we see them start fading away? Does this make them kind of fade away from that and say, ah, we can't take any more hits like this. I think we've taken the last of our hits, or the last of guys that we think that we can rehabilitate.
I say yes and no to that question, Tony, because, you know, sometimes it's really a hit or a miss. And for the majority correct. Of the time, they've hit for right. the most part. They've missed on a few, but they've hit for the most part. And this situation right here is, I don't think they've missed this bad before, you know, and I don't even think they expected this to ever come about, you know, after the end of last season. You know, to think that they would be in a situation with one of their, you know, go-to players in a situation like this. But as far as them, you know, not taking chances or taking chances on players, I don't think that they completely stop. But I do think it raises the eyebrow, or they'll be more cautious to, you know, bringing players that have red flags on their resume. You know, I definitely think that they'll be more cautious. They have to be.
Yeah, they just got to be. I think, and it's going to be. Do we start seeing now a trend? Because, you know, when Walker's got it, when his situation came up, the Browns released him today. Do we see this starting to be a trend in the NFL? Hey, you guys get in trouble. Bam, you're done. We're not going to waste no time with you. You know, not so much like the Ravens did with Ray Lewis during the Super Bowl era in Atlanta, to where they stuck by and Ray Lewis pleaded to a lesser charge. But the Ravens stood by Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis has gotten himself together, has given to the community. Do we see that trend continuing with NFL teams? Hey, you get this kind of a hit when it comes down to a murder, attempted murder. Hey, buddy, we can't take the PR that comes with this, and we got to realize there is a family that has lost a loved one.
Right. Now, I definitely think, you know, the times have changed since the Ray Lewis era, 99-2000, when he was going through his murder trial until 2013, and we look at this Aaron Hernandez case, definitely the times have definitely changed, and organizations have definitely evolved, or, you know, that's coming to what we look at now, and social media being a big, you know, issue out here now. They didn't have so much social media during the time of
correct.
Ray Lewis's, you know,
correct.
Murder trial, so it was big, but I don't think as many people knew about it as people know about this actual case going on now. So,
correct.
You know, I think the NFL, all the NFL organizations will definitely have to, you know, go about handling the situations a lot differently, with it being so out to the public.
That's true.
As far as, you know, back then, they had more of an opportunity to stick by Ray. As far as never now with the Patriots and Aaron Hernandez, they really didn't have a choice but to release him, let him go about his legal duties, and, you know, just basically move on.
Now, but I'm gonna tell you, you know, later on the show around 8:40, we're gonna bring on an expert police officer that has dealt with putting a lot of guys away here in the state of Florida. He's gonna come on the Tony Sands show, and we're gonna talk to him about when it comes down to these kind of cases and what some of the things that police officers go about doing and how they go about getting evidence and getting information out of suspect. But we're going to bring him on after we go to a commercial break. When we come back from the commercial break, we're also going to listen to audio that was ran earlier today from the courtroom and how they charge Aaron Hernandez. Stay tuned here to the Tony Sands Show as you get expert police officers talking about the Aaron Hernandez case.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now. Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause Sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking for an appointment. Call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress.
Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty Beat.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope pole. No food if you can't get your dope sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this, who made it? It's already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Stress get thick, but I won't fold. Devil hoping that I switch, but I won't go. Riding in my whip, I'm a lonely. On the side of the Lord, where I'm gon' be. Swerve, but I take back control. Home time, looking back at the popo. Shots smell blood in the blue sea. In the streets, they'll kill for a Aussie. I'm written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got.
Aaron Hernandez brought in before the judge, charged with murder and five gun-related charges. Of course, this all stems from 9 days ago when Odin Lloyd was found about half a mile from Hernandez's home. Let's listen in at the courthouse.
Count one is murder, count two carry without a license, count carry firearm without a license, count three possession of a live capacity firearm, count four possession of a live capacity firearm, count five possession of a firearm without an FID card, count six possession of a firearm without an FID card. Date of offense on the last form place, June 22nd, 2013. Thank you.
Here on the Tony Sands Show, we're talking Aaron Hernandez murder trial that will be that will go on sometime in the near future. But he's being charged with murder of Mr. Lloyd. And I'm going to tell you later on, I'm going to let you listen to one of my experts that I bring on here to the Tony Sands Show. When it comes to law enforcement, I go get the best to bring me how a case like this, because this guy has put away many of guys here in the South Florida area. He is one of, as they call him, was one of the top cops here in South Florida. But Bills, let me tell you this now. When I heard that, when I hear this case and I'm looking at it, I'm trying to wrap my hand around how do a guy like Aaron Hernandez go and do something so heinous. This guy was shot 5 times. I don't know if, you know, I know the court audio was kind of, it was tough to hear, and that's how we was listening to it today on television, but how do a guy shoot a guy in the back of the head? How, I can't make that out, and I'm having a hard time making it out. When you heard that, what first came to your mind?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was like, wow, that was, you know, pretty brutal, pretty barbaric, you know. And with that being said, it kind of basically just shows you what type of person that he is, you know. First, to be a murderer, and then the second of all, to be the type of murderer that you are, you know, just very brutal and heartless almost. And, you know, after looking at the, you know, the footage of him in the court, it didn't really look like he cared much. You know, it didn't really show much. It didn't really show much emotion at all. It kind of, you know, nipped a few times, stood there kind of like, when is this going to be over? You know, that's it. I mean, I see that in him. You know, that just seems like the type of person that he is. He could be that brutal, that cold, you know, of a person. And that's really just the first thing that I thought when I heard that he was shot. The victim was shot 5 times. I was like, wow, that was pretty brutal. Or very barbaric.
And now I'm going to tell you something. What would have bothered me, I think, would have kind of scared me a little bit straight is, you know, you shoot a man in the head here in Florida that could have lost his life then. And I'm quite sure, you know, I'm gonna let my police expert tell me this as we bring him on. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna let him talk and let me let him bring him on as we go. Welcome to the show, Mr. Richardson. How you doing?
Hey man, Mr. Sands, what's going on? How are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. We're here talking about this Aaron Hernandez case. When you get an NFL player such as his caliber and you put murder next to his name, it catches America by surprise, because these are the guys that we look for on Saturdays and for them to uplift us up to go through the week. You know, we want to watch them play on Sunday and watch them excite us and get us going for the continuing week so we can be ready for the following week. But now here we are, a young man being a man as his stature being charged with first degree murder. And I know you've seen many of people be charged with first degree murder. When you look at a case like this, how do an officer go about doing their job when they run across a body that's been shot 5 times in the chest, in the head? What are some of the things that a police officer do once they arrive on the scene?
One of the first things you want to do, man, you want to always just pretty much just secure that scene, especially a scene with what you deem as to be volatile. As you look at that person, you automatically, with your training, you know that person's been shot, possibly stabbed, and as such. So the first thing you want to do is you never, ever, ever contaminate that scene. You want to maintain the integrity of that scene. Go ahead and advise the supervisor on duty so they can get in touch with homicide and so everybody can come out and start their due diligence.
Now, you said volatile. What deem a crime scene volatile and what deem a crime scene not volatile, so my listeners know what that definitely mean? Because in this case, they do use that word with this case. It was a volatile situation. So what deem it volatile?
Well, let me paint a scenario for you. I'm here in Miami cruising, and I get a call, and it's a possible dead person in a car on 27th Avenue and XYZ Street. And as I pull up, I identify that vehicle, just make sure that scene is safe. There's no moving elements there, and it's just a dead body there. I go ahead and secure it. As I approach the vehicle in a cautious manner, I look over in that car. Now, there's been some instances where somebody's gone into diabetic shock and it looked like they might have had a heart attack and kind of hit a pole and their head bounced off the windshield, and that's what you call non-volatile, pretty much just natural causes. Let's back it up. I pull back up on that scene, the same scenario, and I see a guy laid back with his neck cut, and it appears that somebody's taken his head, pulled it back, and slashed it from ear to ear. That's what I would consider a volatile scene, where violent, blunt force was utilized to take the life of that individual.
Okay. Now, and tell me this, Dee. Now, once you get to the scene and you deemed it volatile and you start roping off, you say you call homicide. Homicide gets on the scene, and then from where, how did this case start being developed?
Well, you have a lot of moving parts, man, on a case like Mr. Hernandez. And let's be clear, he's innocent until proven guilty. The burden, a burden of this case lies on the integrity of that police department or the surrounding jurisdictions. That's what they call those guys. They call the homicide detectives, man. And those guys are really good at taking many moving parts and putting and placing those parts in place so they can create timelines. They can create who was at that scene, how this person died, who maybe talked to, or was he on the phone when confrontation? All those things come in play, and those homicide detectives, man, they come out with their vast and great training, and they place all those components together, and that's how they come up with evidence and probable cause and who's going to be charged, and if, you know, this person's going to be charged or a warrant issue for this house or this car or this locker, and, you know, all those components go together.
Now, when they went to interview Mr. Hernandez, at first he didn't want to cooperate, but then they went back, and I guess they subpoenaed his phone, and his phone was crushed. He had smashed his phone, and he destroyed his home security system. Now, you as a detective, a person, you know, a person with your expertise, does that start creating doubt for you about this guy's involvement in the case?
Yeah, I think what you start looking at is if most people, if you have not done anything, you're going to say, I didn't do that. You're going to be persistent in what you do. And we learn just through human behavior growing up. Your mom tells you not to touch that stove, and you touch that stove, you get burnt. Guess what? You don't want your mom to know that you touched that stove, so you're not going to show your burnt hand because you're afraid that she's going to punish you for touching that stove, although you've already been punished. So,
correct.
Yeah, man, that's a sign that maybe there was some involvement, maybe limited, or maybe a whole lot of involvement. But, yeah, that will definitely pique your curiosity as a detective, you know?
And then, like I said, now, if you – and tell me this. This is the part that kind of got me. I was trying to figure out – and I know they said it was – looking in a murky lake that was not too far from his home, because the car and the crime scene was within miles of his home. But they, you know, we know they charged him with the first degree murder. Now, we're talking about carrying a firearm without a license. In a murder case, would you need the gun in order to charge him with carrying a firearm without a license? Or you just say, okay, we know these 40 calibers were found at the scene, and we know he had a gun. So, and it's not licensed here in this state. Is that evidence enough to charge him with that, or do you got to have the gun to charge him with possession of a large capacity firearm, possession of a firearm without a Fed card?
Well, you don't have to have the gun to make the case. I think what happens is they probably want to. Number one, we don't know where the alleged murder with Hernandez happened either, in the
Correct.
Car coming from a club or. I heard all kind of different scenarios at the house. They drove him away from the house. So him having a gun in his house, I mean, the amendment protects that. So he could
Correct.
Have the house because he had the right, you know, bear arms there. But when it becomes a problem, like you say, when he leaves that home and that gun's been utilized in the commission of a felony, especially murder, now you add a lot of components to that. But to answer the question, do they need the weapon? No, it makes it better. The weapon is,
okay.
makes it better. I mean, you can see the trajectory of the round, how it was fired, close range, all those things. It makes it better, but you don't need the gun to make that case.
Because so many people, when you hear, we never, you know, they don't got the gun, so their case is weak. But as you're stating, you know, you still don't need that gun. All you need is those 40 caliber rounds that were being taken out of that victim's body. And it shows you that it was a high-powered rifle. When you say now, and this is one I never heard of. It says possession of a firearm without a Fed card. What does that mean?
Well, maybe he was killed with a high power. I don't know what type of weapon that he used, but maybe the weapon that he utilized to kill this young man. He needed to have in Boston area. He might have needed a certain type of license or a requirement to carry that type of weapon. So that might be something. And I'm not familiar with the Boston laws as far as that, but I know because they change a lot, you know.
Correct.
From venue to venue. So maybe that's something that he needed to have.
And we know, like I said, and folks, it was as I tell my listeners, there was a person life taken in this case. And that's why when you look at this, and I can see why, the New England Patriots at this time say, you know, hey, let's wash our hands of this. At this point, I still say Bill Belichick knew a lot last week when they bought Tim Tebow in because they knew that Aaron Hernandez would not be a New England Patriot too much longer, because I'm quite sure these guys talked to these NFL clubs, these local police departments talked a lot with NFL clubs and let them know, hey, this is what's going on, Bill Belichick, Mr. Kraft, this guy's going to be charged. We're telling you that now. We got enough evidence to charge this guy. Folks, we got 1 minute left. We have 1 minute left. Bill, give me how you think this thing plays out. Do you think Aaron Hernandez get an opportunity to play for another NFL club if he is found not guilty?
Well, I mean, if he's found not guilty, which I believe is very highly unlikely at this point, then maybe, possibly. You know, the NFL is all about giving and taking chance. But if he is found guilty, then we already know that he'll never play football in the NFL ever again.
He would play with a number called XY, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That would be the only number that he would be able to play with. Because at that point, it has no capital punishment in Boston, but there are, you can spend the rest of your life in prison. It goes back to, we're going to close out the Tony Sands Show. Hey, D-Man, thank you, man. Anytime I need that police expertise, I'm calling you to the Tony Sands Show, man. It's been a great show. I get an opportunity to bring on great guests, expertise people that understands the law, because I'm not in law enforcement. I never have been. I have, you know, dibbing and dab riding along with police officers because I was fascinated always by the police and by law. But we always must remember this. The people that we associate ourselves with, two things happen. Either we follow them or they follow us. There's no middle of the road. So ones that are listening, young ones that are listening to this show, make sure that you surround yourself with people that know more than you, in order to put yourself in places that are beyond this type of behavior. We hope in this case for both families, because both families will take a hit in this. Aaron Hernandez has an 8-month-old baby. Wow. And now all of a sudden, that life is gone. Stay tuned here to next week as the Tony Sands Show bring you more sports topics, more hot topics. And yes, to close it out, the Heat are world champions. Stay tuned to next week as we bring you more stories here on the Tony Sands Show.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.